Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
As promised, Allie can filibuster me no longer.
She got you for an hour, but you sure? She can't hold you down forever.
Can we try? I'm absolutely pot. No, you don't like this song, Super Die? My wife told me last night, she said, Bub, you didn't play the whole thing.
Janine, no!
She likes this song?
Oh, she absolutely loves it. That's mainly because it brings back such great memories, but...
Oh, sure.
She's like, you missed that one part. And she started doing it. I started cracking up. I'm like, I'm so sorry, babe. I'll be sure to nail it in the top of the 6 o'clock hour.
And there you go.
And the seven. And the eight.
And the seven and the eight?
No, we'll do the six for sure. We'll see how it rolls.
Let's see what happens.
Boom Crew, how many of you were around in 1969 when this big hit came out? It was a huge hit. Now, a little backstory on this. We're not just playing a goofy song from 1969. Come on. We're not that crazy, are we?
No. Well,
yeah, yeah, we are. But what's really cool about this is this song, Guitar Zan, is a beautiful song. And I saw at a great event that we had in Denver, Colorado for a bunch of single adults called Change Point was the name of that ministry. We had a young man named Greg Carlson, who's one of the greatest missionaries on the planet today. This guy's out there mixing it up. And he's a creative and a half. And sometimes he does self-deprecating humor in a really cool way. He's tall, gangly, no muscle definition at all. He's the anti-Tarzan. And he went for it. He wasn't tan, not greased up like Guitar Zan, like the real Tarzan. You know, he's got muscles on muscles, and he's all greased up.
It's a jungle.
I was always wondering why Tarzan had fallen in a vat of grease. Because they're always greased up. Yuck.
It's sweaty out there in the jungle.
Yeah, it's sweaty out there.
Yeah.
It's that glistening sweat.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, the movie sweat.
So Greg Carlson had no glistening sweat. Ultra white, pasty, muscleless frame, 6'3", 6'4". And he put on this leopard skin outfit that's very scant. Kind of went over one shoulder. Down around his midriff and legs a little bit. Nothing risque or anything, just very funny. And he did a full Milli Vanilli. He choreographed this thing to a T, and this gangly dude is up there doing all the howls and the echoes and role playing the whole thing. And he's prancing and leaping around. And I didn't know this was coming, but it's one of the best experiences of my entire life.
Wow.
Do you think we could get you in a costume someday with this? No,
no. Okay. I mean, one time for a big, a crisis pregnancy center. They were doing a big drive on our campus, and because I was Stugo Prez, I got sucked in and I wore a diaper to an assembly with a baby rattle in my hand and a binky in my mouth.
Oh,
and I came down with the Stugo officers in a diaper.
Wow.
We raised a lot of money.
Did you tell the faculty about it?
Oh, the faculty was there.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah, they were there.
They were in on it.
Dr. Joe Aldrich, he thought that was one of the greatest things ever.
That's really funny.
Oh, boy.
So, without any further ado, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the greatest songs on the planet. It's pretty chill, but I think you'll get the vibe.
Chill.
Guitar Zan. No. Turn it up, baby.
He's free as the breeze, he's always at ease. He lives in the jungle and hangs by his knees as he swings through the trees without a trapeze in his BVD. He's got a union card and he's practicing hard to play the guitar. Gonna be a big star, yeah, he's gonna go far and carry moonbeams home in a jar. He Chet's Guitar Corps, COD, makes A and E, and he's working on B, and digs C and W and R and B, and me and a chimpanzee agree that one day soon he'll be a celebrity. Get it, get it, get it, get it, get it. Ow, guitar's there. He's a guitar man. He's all you can stand. Give him a hand, guitar.
Give
man.
A hand, Boo Crew.
This verse is good. Here we go.
He's got a girl named Jane with no last name. Kind of homely and plain, but he loves her just the same. Cause she kindles a flame and it drives him insane when he hears her sing. She really does her thing. It's her claim to fame. Come on, sing one, Jane.
Come on, Jane.
Baby.
To get drunk and sang Boogie Woogie and it sounds real funky. Come on, your time, boy. Sing one, monkey. Here we go. Let's hear it for the monkey.
Come on, give it up. Come on, give it up.
On Saturday night, they need some excitement. Jane gets right and the monkey gets tight and their voices unite in the pale moonlight and it sounds all right. Yeah, it's dynamite. It's out of sight, let's hear it right now.
Zan.
That was something.
That was something. So there's a word.
That was on like the charts in 1969. Like that made the charts.
Number eight on the Billboard.
Number eight.
That is wild.
That an amazing tune?
That's the most amazing fact out of the whole thing is that that was number eight in 1969.
You know, it'd be cracking
morning,
me
everyone.
Up.
Everyone.
What did it beat out? Probably some Frank Sinatra song.
I know, right? Imagine all the amazing songs in 1969 that Guitar Zan beat out.
As you know, they're sitting at home reading the paper of the top 100 Billboard, and they're going, I got beat by Guitar Zan.
Oh, man.
Beautiful songwriting, lyrics, composition, but no!
Jonathan Lozada says, my garbage truck doesn't have frequency, so I set up my Bluetooth to listen on the app. I have about a minute delay, but I regret setting it up now.
That says it all right there.
Just, thanks, Jonathan.
Oh, so random.
Really okay, is. We're going to pull you. Is this a song we should make a frequent flyer here on Carl and Crew? Yes or no? 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624. What are you laughing about?
I know Super Di's vote. Every time you say the name, she groans.
I will give my vote up front. No.
Well, that's just fueling all the yes votes. What do you think, Boom Crew? Yes or no? Frequent flyer. Won't be a lot, but every now and then, we'll have this thing pop in here.
Someone said that's one of the songs you can hear one time in your life, and then you're good.
For a long time.
No. Here's the problem with Guitar Zan.
Yeah.
You hear it once, and then there's something deep inside that says.
It's a little earworm.
I got to hear it again.
I agree. There's a little bit of an earworm there.
Yeah. So what do you say? Yes or no? Oh, no. All the no's are pouring in. Yes. All the yes people, don't take it for granted. There we go. Now we're getting
we got
going.
A yes.
Don't assume that your vote doesn't count.
See, we got big yet. This is a very polarizing song.
I was going to say,
you're either in or you're out.
This may split the boom.
I don't
crew.
Think you're neutral on this.
Guitar Zan! Come on now. Oh, yeah. See, now the yeses are pouring in.
Are you sure?
There's a
I
few.
I mean,
the people
is that Janann calling
yes,
in?
Yes, 1,000 times that person says. So did they get? Is
they
that 1,000 X?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. Looks about even to
oh,
me.
I love this answer. Not really.
It's. It is very intense. The disagreement. It's either. A very hard yes or a very hard no.
Kind of like a presidential election in 2024.
Well, yeah, true.
Kind of like
say.
That.
Not really.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot
goodness.
Of polarization here.
Shifting gears. We're going to throw another anchor out today. What do you say, Allie?
Let's do it.
Yeah. We're going to get anchored in the gospel of grace. Why in the world is it so challenging to hold on to this power and favor from God to live in His strength and not in our own.
The craziest carpool in Chicagoland. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
The tendency to buy the lie, to take the bait that somehow Jesus saved us, and that's indisputable. If you're truly born again, you know it's by God's grace. So you've tasted it once because you brought nothing to the table when you were born again. I mean, if you're really born again, which may be a question for some of you this morning. I'm more and more and more and more aware of the reality that you can get kids and adults caught up in a culture of Christianity and never know Christ. I mean, it's just, we talk about it all the time here, but the reason we have to is that it's so prevalent. Every one of your hosts in here, all four of us, at some level struggled with that funk.
Yeah.
This isn't just Jonathan's story. His is pretty dramatic because he's a pastor's kid. And
sure. Went to Moody.
Went to Moody
like
and came onto a radio show, and then he was born again. But, I mean, come on. It's more prevalent than we might imagine.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're born again, you know grace. Right, Allie?
Right.
And there's no question about it.
Right.
And then we get up in our own strength, and we think we got to go make this thing happen. And that was the problem in the church of Galatia. They were buying a lie quickly. Somebody came in and said, no, it's really all about this. So imagine fireworks of God's grace. Many are coming to Jesus Christ. And now they're told, well, here's kind of the rules. This is what you kind of got to do. And Paul's going, no, it's going to screw up the whole thing. So the question is, what are the anchors that we got to throw out? Coming up here, a minute and a half, we're going to give you, let's go back in time, 2 days. And we'll hit those two anchors and we'll hit this third one. This third one is so important because the pressure to find the approval of people, Paul speaks to it directly. Hang on.
Discipleship to start your day. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Got to get some anchors out, man, so we don't get pulled away and drift into this powerless performance metric. Life can be dangerous. Anchor yourself in the gospel. We hit that on Tuesday. The gospel is, and this was one of the coolest things about it. Let's hit this quickly, Allie. But we think of the gospel as sometimes, well, it can sometimes be that drugs to Jesus story. But if you anchor yourself in the good news and you just imagine, even if you were born again at 8 years of age, without Christ in your life, in that family system, in that worldview, the way God's got you wired, you've got to imagine, and it's not hard, where you'd be without the grace of God.
And so sometimes it's God saving you out of the middle of some sort of chaos, whirlwind of your own self-destruction. Sometimes it's Him saving you from ever heading down that path.
But still being with your back to God. Even when you're 8 years old, you're born with your back to God. And that awareness of your sin and your need for a Savior is an awesome thing. So anchor yourself in the gospel. Yesterday, anchor yourself in grace. Undeserved favor, unreserved power. We've got to be anchored in that. But today we've got an interesting thing. We got one verse here and it goes like this.
This is Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Okay, this is so cool. This is such a straightforward anchor. We've got to anchor ourselves. Boom Crew, you got to anchor yourself in Christ. And the implication here is that Christ frees you from the chains of people-pleasing and living for the approval of others. When we're really anchored in Christ, the good thing about Paul is he spent his entire years growing up being on this performance metric. we're going to find here, if you read a little bit further down, he'd say, I was excelling in Judaism beyond those of my age. Those are the actual words that he uses. But here's what he's trying to say. Well, I used to live kind of benchmarking how I was doing spiritually, but now I don't live for that anymore. And I think the great temptation that leads us into a false gospel, which is no gospel at all, is letting the perception of other people of us dictate how we live. It's lethal.
You know, I just looked up an article about people pleasing. You want to hear some of the common behaviors associated with people pleasing, obviously separate from scripture, but just in general. I'll read you quite a few of them, and you can kind of self-assess, does this apply to me? I go to great lengths to avoid conflict, common people-pleasing behavior, and you can easily see how this translates to how we live out our faith.
Yeah, this is good.
I put other people's needs first at the expense of my own. I feel like I can't say no when someone asks for something. Feel responsible for how other people feel. Struggle to establish boundaries. Apologize or accept fault when I'm not to blame. Mirror the behavior of others in social situations to make them feel comfortable. That's an interesting one.
Boy, these are good.
Hard time recognizing how I really feel about something. Say I agree with others even when I don't.
So prevalent. So I got a crazy question for you, and this is a hard one. But it's good to dig down to the bottom of the barrel and scrape and go, ugh. I want you to look over your life, and then I want you to call in with an answer to this question. What did people-pleasing cost you that you're not willing to pay that price ever again? What did people-pleasing cost you that you're unwilling to pay that price ever again? This isn't for you to call in and get a sideways shot at someone. This is you owning, I got sucked in. This was on me. I let my people-pleasing self cost me, and I'm unwilling to pay that price ever again. 312-274-9624.
Boom Crew, celebrate what God is doing in you. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
Got a question for you this morning, Boom Crew, and it all flows out of one little verse. Let's hit that verse again, Alan.
Yeah, Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Isn't that? Oh, what a statement. How does that go again? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ.
So does that mean that people pleasing and being a servant of Christ are incompatible?
They are totally incompatible.
Hmm. It makes sense. Because you're choosing, when you go to please people or you have actions to please people, you are serving them, but not in the way that Jesus commanded us to serve people.
Is there any healthy people pleasing?
That's a good question. I think I wouldn't call it people pleasing, but I think that the consideration of other people, maybe their feelings, and holy inspection, I think that it can be healthy, but I don't think it would be people pleasing at that point. I think it would fall under a holy Christ-like serving of people.
I think it's a different term. I'm sitting here live wrestling with this, and I'm thinking if you strip it all down, if we are living to honor Christ in everything, it's probably going to put us in positions where we extend mercy, grace, love, but we don't withhold truth.
Yeah.
And we're willing to lay it out there. People pleasing is so insidious, it's amazing how it impacts every way of our life.
Because I think it's ultimately our it's not the behavior as much as the motive. Mm-hmm. If our motive is to please people, then we're always going to get off track. But there are actions that we could take that please God, that's our ultimate aim. But if you change the motivation.
Right. Now there's people affirming. If you put a twist at the end of that, that can become people pleasing. But I mean, catching people winning and affirming it, that's not people pleasing necessarily at all.
And people pleasing often has a root of fear behind it, of I want to do this because if I don't, what will they think of me? You know, and that's unhealthy.
Well, I mean, Alex just went over these lists of things.
Yeah.
I mean, and while you were gone with your baby, we were talking about a story on here a couple of weeks ago. I was going through this Title IX info here, and I was blown away. First off, Mark Griffin, unbelievable teacher of the Bible. Hmm. I'm bummed that he's leaving the Title IX department. That dude killed it in that thing. I mean, I was blown away. I'd never heard Title IX done so beautifully biblically.
That's awesome.
It was great. But he made this, it was him or a video or something that I watched. This bystander mentality is wild. There's a greater likelihood that a woman that's being accosted on Chicago and Wells, say a woman's just, some dude comes up and he tries to grab a purse, right? And he's knocking her down. There's a better chance that if there's one or two people there, that she's going to get help than if there's 20 or 200.
That's insane to
the
think
about. The bystander mentality, the more people that don't move towards something, the less likely it is that anyone moves towards something.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Yeah, it is crazy.
And you know, all that shows is people pleasing.
Yep, peer pressure.
So you got an answer to this one?
Yeah, I do. I would say I'm going to go back to high school, not too far back, but
yeah, back to yeah, high right? school.
But I would say people pleasing, I think it's a big thing for everybody. It was a big thing for me. And I think one of the things I sacrificed was other people upon my own people pleasing, because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be a part of the popular crowd. And so I was willing to put other people down and join in on putting other people down so that I could be seen as someone who was better
or cool
or cooler, so that I could be accepted. But I did it at the expense of other people and their feelings and how they thought about themselves. And I regret it immensely. And looking back on it, I would never want to make someone feel that way ever again. And so I think that for me, the biggest thing was sacrificing other people upon my own people pleasing.
Good stuff, man. Yeah. Great example. Got a question for you, Boom Crew.
What did it cost you? What did people pleasing cost you? And you're never willing to pay that price again. 312-274-9624.
Taking your calls right now, Boom Crew. Some of you are texting in. If you could muster the courage to call in, that'd be great. 312-274-9624.
Don't just keep it to yourself. Give what you've heard to a friend with the Carl and Crew Showcast. Just go to carlandcrew.org.
We're talking about anchors this week. Anchoring ourselves in the grace of God, in the gospel, and today in Jesus Christ. Why? Because when you're really anchored in Christ, more than having accepted Jesus or believed in Jesus, but you're anchored in Jesus, it will keep you from drifting into this weird people-pleasing realm. And that's exactly what Paul says. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. That is so, boom, lying in the dirt. If I'm trying to please man, I'm not a servant of Christ. Woo, get your head around that for a second.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge.
You have to choose. You can't serve Christ and others in that type of way. You can't be so concerned about what other people think that it's driving every decision and serve Christ at the same time. It's impossible.
This verse right here is one of the best verses for leading in a workplace, for being part of a team, and maybe the most important one is parenting. Do you know how many parents miss golden opportunities to speak the truth in love because they don't want to lose the approval of Johnny?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
A lot.
I am pumped that my dad was a man growing up. My mom, too. I remember when I was 16, my mom looked at me and she said straight up, I'm not going to be afraid of what you think or what you think of me. I'm going to tell you some truth right now. Bam.
It's a great thing.
Yeah, it was a great thing.
You need it. And you probably didn't appreciate it in the moment.
Too bad.
Yep. But you do now.
You want to be your kid's friend more than their parent? Mm. You have lost the battle.
Yeah.
It's lost.
Yeah.
They're toast.
You never set them up for success that
way. You set them up for failure.
Every time.
Every time. Mary in Naperville, what did people pleasing cost you that you'd never want to pay that price again?
It cost me my peace. I just want to tell you thank you. This is a God moment. It's perfect because people pleasing was based on fear because my family of origin was very dysfunctional. So I'm almost 70 years old. I have 3 grown children. 2 are married. And so I kept coming into their life thinking I was being helpful when they didn't see it that way. They felt like it was an intrusion. And so it cost me my peace. And I loved what you said when you said we're here to please God first. And what it cost me is I'm overweight. My house is not in order. And so this is a time when I finally found a church family that's a good fit. And so I'm taking my life back, basically, that coming from my family of origin, it was always about doing for others.
Okay. I see. So I was having a hard time piecing it together, but I think I got it, Mary. Your people pleasing cost you taking care of yourself, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. You don't want to go back there, do you, Mary?
No, I was practically mothering people at the red light. Just wanting to help, you know, anybody that was in my realm. And what it cost me was taking care of myself.
Yeah, this is good. The Apostle Paul said, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Every time we get into people pleasing, whether it's with Johnny at home or with somebody at work. Now, by the way, this doesn't mean that you go speaking the truth willy-nilly. People pleasing, the flip side of people pleasing isn't being people displeasing.
Yeah.
That's not the side of that.
It's so interesting how every topic has a high ridge.
Every topic has a high ridge.
Yes.
There's always the danger of going from one extreme to the other extreme on the other side of the pendulum. You know, we can't say, well, I don't want to please people, so
I'm going to be bombastic.
And I'm never going to do anything for people ever again.
Right.
You know, no, we have to find the healthy balance where Christ is, which is serving people and considering others, yet not fearing so that we have to, you know, live in that horrible place.
And I'm glad you mentioned the high ridge, because you could think for like a Mary story that, you know, that the solution is, well, then it's me first. I want to make sure that I do. Well, actually putting the needs of others ahead of our, considering others more important than ourselves is actually biblical. But what I've found even in my own life is sometimes my attempts to, I'm going to use help people, is actually kind of selfishly motivated. Like I'm trying to fill some need, some void of wanting to be the person who's needed. Like, it's this weird thing where
sure.
It's like,
isn't that funny?
I want to be the one to solve the problem. I want to be the one people come to. I want to be the fixer. I want that sort of adrenaline rush of saving the day, where it's like, if the motivations were different, it could be great, but it could be pretty self-serving when the motive is off.
This is a really important discussion. What did Paul say? For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Whoa. Think about this. Every time we get into people-pleasing mode, we are actually walking away from the servanthood of Jesus Christ. And it's true. I got to tell you, in 2 minutes, I'll tell you how both sides of this thing can happen for me. And what God's taught me. Because I'll tell you, you do fall off 2 sides of this ridge. Give you a sneak peek in 2 minutes.
Helping you start your day with a boom. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
So just think about this. If we live for the approval of others and we don't want to make people upset or we want to keep people happy, this is the plight of a lot of leaders. And I've talked with a lot of leaders about this. But you can fall off both sides of this ridge, and it generally works something like this, especially if you're wired up like I am. You want people to win. I want people to win. And for years, I wanted people to win at the expense of sometimes telling them the truth how to get a win. And you don't speak, and you hold it, and you hold it, and you hold it, and you think that you're loving these people well, and you don't want to upset the apple cart, and so you hold it, and hold it, and hold it, and then it's like storing explosives. Over time, what you see is real. You go right up over the high ridge of speaking the truth in love, you go right down the other side, and you go scorched earth. Person goes from hero to zero in 60 seconds. And it's deadly because the person never got a shot at hearing the truth. And it's what you were saying, Allie, because you don't want to be seen in a bad light necessarily of talking to this person. You kind of hold all this stuff up, and then you run up the side of the mountain from that place where you've fallen to have the approval of these people and kind of ramp them up. And then you jump right off the other side of now it's gotten to a crisis point, and you handle that all wrong as well. Parenting is like this. You live for the approval of your kids, and you live for the approval. And then finally it hits a boiling point and you blow up. And now you're willing to say, I'm done. Hey, that happens all the time, Allie.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you're driving your car and you go to swerve something to avoid something, and then you overcorrect and then you go the opposite way. So
totally.
Instead of having like that steady, I'm straight ahead, I go from one side to the other. And it's so easy to do that.
So easy to do it. We got a question for you, Boom Crew.
What did people pleasing cost you? And you're never willing to pay that price again. You learned your lesson. 312-274-9624.
So let me tell you what I've learned about this before we go to a quick song. I have learned that it is better to have loving, straightforward communication, even if the person doesn't like you for a day or two, even if they aren't feeling like Carl's my best friend, than it is to persist with that thing and then let it go so far down the road that your only response is to blow your lid or to do something rash. And I got a hunch that isn't just for leaders.
No way. That's common malady.
312-274-9624. Got a very important question today, because people-pleasing actually separates you from being a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. It's powerful. Here's the question.
What did people-pleasing cost you? What did you learn? What are you unwilling to give up again? 312-274-9624.
Here to help with your spiritual spring cleaning, we're Carl and Crew Mornings.
The tendency and the tide and the drift into people-pleasing, living for the approval of others, living by a system that is not anchored in Christ, takes us away from Christ. Paul said, if I were still trying to please man. Notice he used the word still. In other words.
Oh, I never caught that before.
And it goes on in verse 11 and following, he talks about his pedigree. He's like, man, I was climbing Judaism's chart, baby. Let me get the exact words here. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who set me apart before I was born and who called me into his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. He didn't have to go to anyone else. That Damascus Road experience proved to him no more of this religious spirit. This is Christ invading your life, taking over and directing it. And so it makes this all the more clear. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. People pleasing is antithetical to the gospel.
It is. You can't have both.
People pleasing is antithetical to the gospel.
So many of these sin problems that we experience in our lives, it's forms of idol worship. People pleasing is a form of idolatry. You're holding someone else or their opinion of you above God.
Yeah.
I'm so concerned about what this person thinks about me that I'm not even consulting the Lord. I'm just going right into doing what I think this person wants me to do because I'm so worried about them. Because I've placed them number one, probably subconsciously, but I've placed them number one.
Yeah, man. We got a little clip here that we want to play.
Yeah, when you think about people pleasing, a lot of times what you say publicly, especially if you're a public figure, it gets scrutinized. And so for most people, you find that they try to kind of walk a fine line of never being too extreme, kind of avoiding certain positions. There was an athlete that recently caught my eye. I follow sports. He plays for the Detroit Pistons. He had a big game, 34 points. He had his post-game press conference. Then he does the whole, the whole thing. They ask him about the game and all of this stuff that the typical press conference
I did see the whole presser, but you could have predicted it. You know, it was a great team effort.
Yes, all of the things that they say. And then all of the questions finish. And he has a moment where you can tell he's contemplating.
He's debating.
He's going to get up because the press conference is over. But he stops himself and he has something that clearly he had decided in advance. I want to use this opportunity for something else I want to say. Take a listen to this clip.
Oh, before we leave, I just wanted to just kind of, first, I just want to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And to any of, the world that's hearing this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is coming back and we all have to repent for our sins. And we have to put our faith in Jesus. He will come back when you least expect it. And, it's time to wake up if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ.
Go, Jaden.
Jaden Ivey plays for the Detroit Pistons. Can you hear the nervousness little bit?
Yes, of course, but he busted through it.
He busted through it. Why? You have to think about this verse because he decided in that moment, this is what I feel compelled to say, and I can't worry about pleasing people. Because if you wanted to please people, you wouldn't say that in a room full of reporters,
right,
unprompted. But in that moment, you can really sense that he wanted to please God, so he busted through those nerves and was bold. That's one of the boldest proclamations of truth that I've ever heard from an athlete.
Yeah.
This isn't just I give glory to God for a great game.
No, this is Jesus is coming back and you need to repent of your sins.
That's a strong message.
Yeah. Got a question for you, Boom Crew, and it's a simple one, but it's a hard one. What did people-pleasing cost you and you're unwilling to pay that price anymore? Speaking of idol worship, you know how you know you've made an idol out of your kids?
How do you know?
You're unwilling to tell them the truth.
I think that's a pretty good litmus test.
Or you shade the truth. You don't give it to them straight up. Keep bailing them out of problems. Every parent's done it to some degree. But if you do it rightly, if you do people pleasing well, you can destroy a kid. Destroy them. It's a hard thing to hear, but man, it's real. What people-pleasing did you do that cost you and you're unwilling to pay that price anymore? 312-274-9624. Boy, this is a tough topic.
It is a tough topic.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a good one, though.
Anonymous in Chicago, come on in here.
Thank you, Carl, for taking my call. This is super faithful because it's so recent. I'm going through very difficult hardship. So what it cost me was my marriage, my ministry, and family friendships and everything. I discovered that I was pleasing my wife more than God, and I made mistakes that led her to leave me, and I realized that I wasn't the best steward of my marriage, trying to please her more than God. And I didn't stood up for the truth of the gospel and what the Bible says. So I made a lot of mistakes that drove her away from me.
It's a hard one, isn't it, Anonymous?
Yep. Yes. I'm still in that position. I repented from watching him there, but this has brought me closer to Jesus than ever
before.
Yeah.
I love you, bro. This is an important topic, isn't it?
It is, because you think you're doing the right thing by being nice to your wife, doing whatever she asks you to do, but you forget about what God is telling you, and then you do things to please her, lying or covering things, or and at the end, it's just sin against God.
Yeah, and Anonymous, what Boom Crew, what Anonymous is saying here, two things can exist at one time. There's definitely things we do to serve someone. But when you are serving them at the expense of honoring Christ, you're no longer serving them. You're actually serving them and yourself up on a platter for something that's going to be a big, big downfall. It's heart-wrenching, isn't it?
It really is.
But my friend, I know you're still listening. You've never been better positioned for God to do something radical in your life. What did people-pleasing cost you that you're unwilling to pay that price ever again? You know, I'm surprised that I have to ask for this, but I do. Who's got a lesson that they learned of parenting all wrong this way? It was people-pleasing on steroids, and you actually ripped your kid off and yourself in the process. 312-274-9624. Anything's in play, but I'm curious about that one because there's so many people battling with that right now. 312-274-9624.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Man, what a hot topic today. Woo! You got to get yourself anchored in Christ. Why? Because the tendency for all of us, and the Apostle Paul, maybe the greatest gift he gave us, was how to be vigilant with the gospel of grace and not cave into the spiritual performers. The gospel of grace is tough to grasp because our natural bent is to rely on performance. And performers hate grace. Performers hate grace.
Oh, yeah.
They hate it.
Then you can't have ownership over anything. You can't say, I did it. You can't get credit for anything.
That's why. You're
right. I mean, that's what it is for me. When I fall into performance stuff, I go, I think I'm wanting a little too much credit right now.
It's really true.
It's true.
So Paul said, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. People pleasing flies in the face of the gospel of grace.
Yet it's so easy to fall into.
Oh. What did people pleasing cost you and you're unwilling to pay that price anymore? And it's not like you're putting a foot down. It's just that you're standing on the rock and his name is Jesus. That's different. I'm putting my foot down. No, whoa, 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 whoa. You fell off the other side of the high ridge there. But you're standing in Christ, and you just can't go back. Bobby, in Chicago, what do you say, Bobby?
Hi, guys. Good morning. People-pleasing caused delayed obedience in my life, in my calling, because I was pleasing the world. I was pleasing toxic relationships so much. I wasn't able to step in my calling sooner. But I had to let go of relationships. I had to let go of habits that were part of the world. And I knew I had a huge calling in my life. The Lord was calling me. So I fully sacrificed a lot of things in my life, rededicated my life to Christ, October, actually.
Praise God.
And fully being all in and being obedient, I decreased so he increased in my life, and I'm seeing it, like the way God can just move when you're obedient to him, when you do things to please him, he just surpasses everything that you are trying to do on your own without him.
You know what's great about this, Bobby, is you got such a taste of this people pleasing. I love your statement. People pleasing causes you delayed obedience. And with every delayed obedience, we're ripping ourselves off, aren't we, Bobby?
Yes.
Yeah, way to go.
I finally tasted and seen like how God can move in my life. And that's why I came to call to just say, like, be all in for the Lord. Let things go that are causing you to be far from Him. I'm 24 years old, and I'm happy that I'm all in for the Lord now. So young.
Yep. You got great ears in front of you.
I fear Him now. I fear Him instead of man.
Yeah. And stay there, Bobby. I'm so proud of you. The word of my heart is kiddo. And I'm not talking down to you, but I'm old enough to be your almost grandpa, for crying out loud. Here's what I want you to know, Bobby, from the bottom of my heart. You are learning this at a great time. There are so many 60, 70, 80-year-olds out there listening right now going, go, Bobby. Glad you got it early, sister. You go for it, young lady. By the way, you know what you need to supercharge your life right now? You need a Carl and Crew prize pack.
I knew it.
You didn't even expect it, Bobby, but you got one coming at you. Stay on the horn. What a great call.
Wow.
People pleasing. Yeah, it's another aspect. It delays obedience. 312-274-9624. Got a question for you.
What did people pleasing cost you that you were unwilling to ever pay that price again? 312-274-9624.
Mark, let's get you in here real quick. What do you say, Mark?
It cost me my identity. I had identity crisis in Christ. I was as far as the Lord showed me I was into spousal worship. I was in a relationship where, I was married, but it was dysfunctional. But I was doing everything I possibly can to try to keep everything together, trying to keep peace and everything. But it cost me my identity. I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't know who I was in Christ anymore. The delayed, as the young lady said,
delayed obedience.
Delayed obedience cost me, some damage with my children. I was a youth pastor, Carl. I was preaching the gospel, and you do remember this, Promise Keepers.
Yeah.
Part of it, but the one thing was I wanted to try to keep my marriage together, right? Tried to keep my family together at any cost. And that was the problem, at any cost. I didn't respect the boundaries of God's word. And because I didn't respect the boundaries of God's word and lovingly confronting and things of that nature, it cost me a lot. But the great part about it is that we have a forgiving God who wants to restore, and I learned healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
I learned boundaries within the Word of God. I learned my worship, my relationship with God is first, and everything else comes in behind your marriage, your children. But it cost me a lot, and I would never go back there again. Worshiping people and trying to please people it's draining. You can lose years.
Yeah.
It is so liberating when you have everything in place as the Word of God says. And remember, God doesn't share His glory with anyone, not even your spouse.
Mark, I love you, man. And you know how, as a pastor, I know Mark's got the right stuff. There's not a hint of arrogance in that thing. It's just a calm, subtle resolve. A quick tip on this. Let me just say this quickly. The healthiest marriages have chair times, drive times, more than just date nights. Oftentimes we dumb it down to, you got to have a date night once a week. Yeah, sure. Got a date for sure. I haven't been great on that lately. I got to do better dating my bride. You get so busy in ministry, you can forget dating your bride. But it's very important also that you don't store up these bricks trying to protect the other person. The healthiest marriages have two-way communication of speaking the truth, You know, sometimes marriages think, oh, I'm really loving someone by not speaking what I know is true here. Mm-hmm. That's hogwash, man. That's hogwash. And we can do better. Why? You see, when we're bound in Christ and we're anchored in him, all of a sudden there is not a rancor, not a anger, but there's a willingness to even speak the truth in love. And sometimes those moments can preempt a lot of pain further down the road. A lot of pain. 312-274-9624. We got a question for you.
What did people pleasing cost you that you're unwilling to go there again? 312-274-9624.
Willie in Chicago, what do you say, my man?
You got to hate the one and love the other. You know, people pleasing takes you out of the will of God because you'll get the big head about pleasing people. And when people don't go along with the way that you think that they should have went, it changes your conduct, because that's what it cost me. It cost me a conduct management class and recognition that if I had been pleasing people from my heart with God involved, it wouldn't have went to the level that it did.
Yeah.
It took me to disobedience to the word.
Yeah, Willie, that's exactly where we go, bro. Thank you for calling in, Willie. I love you. It takes you in disobedience to the word. Speaking the truth in love, the Apostle Paul said, we are going to grow up into all things in Christ. And, you know, Chuck Swindoll was famous for titling this, and I think it was Grace Awakening. He called it the velvet-covered brick. You know, sometimes we get so angry, we're so done with people-pleasing, then we become brick chuckers. Well, that ain't the answer either.
I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to speak the truth. They need to hear it. It's like, oh, listen to how, if your motive is to go in and like kind of rough people up with the truth, then you've fallen off on the other side of this.
Yeah, that's not working. Elizabeth in Chicago, what did people pleasing cost you? And you're not willing to pay that price anymore.
Oh, my goodness. It cost me a lot. It cost me not to be let God use me in the purpose that he wanted to use me. I was baptized at 15 years old. I am now 61 years old, and I am still a work in progress.
Welcome to the
club. Since a child, I was a people pleaser, you know, being the good girl, teacher's pet, with my parents, with my husband, with my family. And one day, some years back, I decided this is not working. I'm not pleasing. I need to please God, and God has to be first, because then that's when I can truly please people, because I will be directing them to Christ. And I can speak boldly instead of be worrying about, are people not going to like me because I'm talking to them about God? And, you know, always that thought. And now no longer. I said, God, you're first. I am going to please you. And now you can use me, my purpose, even though I'm 61. And now I belong to a group of women in my church that are women that are at different ages, but there are bold women who are prayer warriors. And we are giving Bible studies, and we're doing the things that I should have done. And when I was much younger, not that I didn't serve God, but I feel that I didn't serve him the way he really wanted me to.
Yeah.
And I'm still a work in progress.
No, we all are, but. Elizabeth. You know, the interesting thing, Elizabeth, is that people pleasing, actually, we think in some way that we're empowering people, but we're really disempowering people and ourselves. We're really powering down. You know, the minute we get into people pleasing, it's like we're hitting and holding that off button on our relationship with Jesus.
You're right about that.
And the screen goes black. And then we're stuck with one thing. How will we measure up in the eyes of this person that we're trying to please? It becomes our idol. And then our worth is based on their response. You know what I've found? Their response generally sucks.
It's true. It's true. And you become a hamster on a wheel.
Yeah.
Where can't get off it.
You can't get off it. Every situation is different where I have pleased them this time, but what happens when the next thing comes along and I have to do this all over again? With Christ, we have his love and his approval and his care for us, even when we make mistakes.
Yeah.
Even when we don't please him in our actions, we still have his love. We're not a hamster on a wheel. You don't have to be.
It's a beautiful thing. Boy, this is a tough topic. But it's, I find that the toughest topics have the greatest value attached to them. We're just going to keep this cooking here today, man.
Here's the question for you. What did people pleasing cost you? If you think about it, what did it cost you? And you're not willing to do that anymore. You're not willing to give that up anymore. 312-274-9624.
Your spiritual pit stop to keep you going in the race. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Oh, come on. You got to share that on air.
Yeah. It's really funny.
Come on.
We were talking about customizing orders. We're ordering lunch as a team today for a special meeting. But my kids make fun of me because I went through Culver's drive-thru. And I ordered for them, and they said, anything else? And I said, well, I would like your butter burger cheeseburger, but without the butter and no cheese. And the woman, she was very deadpan. She goes, so a hamburger? I felt about so 2 inches tall, and the kids fall out laughing in the car. And I'm like, Yes, I'll take a hamburger. There's a point where you start customizing and removing things that you've actually changed it to some other item.
Oh, yeah, so well, and the funny thing is you, if you customize, if you order that way and then customize it, you're still paying for the butter burger with cheese.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, boy. Oh, so, Rally. Just a hamburger. I'll take that.
How is people pleasing cost you? And you're unwilling to pay that price again. Eric in Chicago, come on, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning. I just wanted to let you guys know that I wasted a lot of time and energy because my focus was never on the Lord. You know, I grew up in the church and serving and working with the children. But since I was serving at such a young age, I was only really doing it because, you know, I was told by, you know, some of my family members I should serve. So I was like, okay, you know. But since I was so young, I lost myself and focusing on sports and dating. But now that I'm older now and I'm married and my, you know, and I really want to serve. When I was young, I pretty much abandoned those kids who I was serving with at a young age because I was like, you know what, I only did this because I was asked to. And I just kind of left them. But now that I have a heart for children, I love children, I want to support them and be there for them, I realized that I messed up. And now I got to rebuild that trust with the youth director and my church and with the Lord, you know, and things like that. So I realized that people pleasing, they can hurt you. And they can, and down the line, you'll have to rebuild your trust with the Lord and with the people that you hurt. So you want to make a decision that when you serve and you pour into people, you're doing it because inevitably you want to please God.
Yeah.
Not yourself, not others. It's all about the Lord.
Yeah. Right on, Eric. Good word, bro.
That key is that distinction is the motive. We've been talking about that all morning. Who are you trying to please? That's more important than the action itself.
Boom. Who are you trying to please? I mean, the Apostle Paul says that if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Being a people pleaser is antithetical to following Jesus Christ. Ouch. That hurts, I know. But that's what the scriptures are clear about. Because it's idolatry, right?
It absolutely is. And it's all about, because it doesn't seem like idolatry. It's like, well, I don't have a statue of this person in my house. But
you might as well.
You might as well, because what you're doing, it's all idolatry is just putting someone or something else above God. And when we are so focused on pleasing other people because we're afraid of what they're going to say, of what they're going to think, then we are caring more about them than we are about God.
People pleasing is all about fear.
Absolutely.
It's fear of rejection.
Yep.
It's fear of isolation. It's fear of being alone. This is why we need to draw near to Christ, because there is no way that we're going to be speaking the truth and being unwilling to be a people pleaser if we're not connected to Christ. Our closer connection with Christ gives us the ability to speak the truth in love. Kate in Chicago, what do you say, Kate?
Hi, Allie. This is Kate. Like, we know each other from a few years ago, but I normally don't call on these things, but I just felt like so impressed to share a story. But I've struggled with people pleasing for many years in my life, and I actually realized the Lord showed it to me that it's actually my control, like my desire to help people, but I felt like I could fix their problems. I felt like when there was a problem, like I was the one that had to solve it. But I realized, like, the Lord really humbled me and said, like, you are not their savior. I am.
Yeah.
And he actually taught me to intercede for them instead of carrying the weight. Like, yes, we can walk along people, but we don't have to actually carry their whole burdens. We're called to lay it down at the cross. And so the Lord really taught me, like, to intercede on their behalf, to pray for them and walk along with them, but not actually take on the weight, because I am not Jesus.
Wow.
And I was taking on an unhealthy, really, like, codependency of feeling like I can fix their problems, but I can't. I'm not the savior of the world, but I can lead them to Jesus, who is the savior of the world. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah,
that's
way to
awesome.
Go, Kate.
Kate, good to hear from you. Hope you're doing well. That is so common that you're doing things and you're helping people, and they're probably really happy because they need the help. But that sort of codependency of like, man, I'm doing this because I like that feeling of kind of being the savior almost.
Yeah.
Saving the day, of being the one people can count on.
Anchored in Christ keeps you from trying to please man, trying to fix man, trying to gain the approval of man, especially in parenting, guys. This is one of the biggest balagans going. It's a big balagan. A big mess. So the tour guide constantly said in Israel, every time we'd come up to a big old site of ancient ruins of a war, he said, there was a big balagan here. But we get in big balagans when we try to be people pleasers. And the truth is, we're just afraid. We're just afraid. Sometimes we fix people because we're afraid, right, Allie?
Yeah.
Taking your calls. 312-274-9624. What did people pleasing cost you, and you're not willing to pay that price ever again? Coming up, we got a crazy special request, top of the hour. You're going to want to be here for it. Okay, Philip and Aurora, what do we do? My man, sometimes we live people pleasing. It costs us so much, and we go, God, I never want to do that again. What do you say, Philip?
Yeah. I know, man. You know, we're stuck and we're looking at the thing. How do I get into this mess again? You know something, man. I've been so blessed, you know, because I've got three batches of kids. They go from the 44 years of age down to 11, four generations. You know what I'm saying?
Hold it. I did not know that, Philip.
Yes, yes, yes. My kids go 44, 35, 30, 29, and then 15, 13, and 11. So
okay, there's a whole story behind that, Cat Daddy. Here's the bottom line, Philip. You will agree that God can redeem the years that locusts have eaten out of our own life, can't he?
Every kind of locust, the ones that crawl out of the ground and out of the trees.
Yeah, love it, man.
Absolutely. But you know something, man? What I found, I said this to Lisa, is that it's cost me peace of mind, particularly, you know, when either I've tried to chase those old ghosts. Am I pleasing my daddy? Am I pleasing my mama? Am I pleasing my grandmama? Am I raising my kids right? Am I trying to please my children by being their friend and not their parent?
Yeah, that's the big one.
Exactly, you know, and now that I've got all these multi-generational, you'd think that I would have learned something along the way with my older kids, you know, that I wouldn't make the same mistakes with my 15-year-old son when he's looking at me cross-eyed, and I'm thinking, am I speaking a different language, boy? What's going on here? You know, and that's when my wife has to remind me, honey, he's 15 and he is a boy. He's going to look at you like that because, as our parents used to say, my dad used to say, he's smelling himself now.
That's a great line.
Oh, that's Phillip. So funny, Phillip. Oh, thanks for your honesty on that one.
Yeah, thanks for your honesty. Here's what's cool, Phillip. Is that the Apostle Paul says this right here. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Conversely, when we're a servant of Christ, it doesn't mean that we're now all of a sudden authoritarians to our kids. It just means that we've got this high ridge that we're standing on. We're willing to let them not be happy with us if we're... as we're walking in step with the Lord and his counsel for their life. And that can be hard because it's a bummer to go to bed at night when your kids don't think you're cool.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so we had a conversation last night. You know, we're in track season. We just bought spikes for our two youngest daughters, you know, and my daughter now, my 13-year-old, and you know what this is, Allie, my 13-year-old daughter tells me all the time, Daddy, you're doing too much.
Yes. Too much. Okay. I hear that too, Phillip. Don't worry. Yes. I get that exact phrase thrown at me.
It's like, no, I love you. It's not that I'm trying to do too much, honey. I say these things because I love you. And then they look at you like, oh, well, really? Could you maybe try not to love us so much then, please?
How about this one, Phillip? You're doing the most right now, Dad. You're doing the most.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Funny. And then, you know, then I get a little bit of the side eye, you know, and they think, well, can Daddy really see the side eye? And I have to remind him, yeah,
I'm
not totally blind yet. I can still see the side eye.
Oh, boy. Good stuff.
Oh, he's honest. His name's Phillip. And by the way, if you haven't seen him on the big screen or the small screen, he's been in both locales. And here's what's cool. Phillip is a humble dude. Oh, no, bring him back. Dude, you missed the big one in your life that I'm going to remind you of. You were unwilling to be a people pleaser when it came to a script for a show you were going to do. Remember that, my man? What did it cost you?
You're very bright, man. Yeah, it cost me my agency, and ultimately it cost me my acting career in Chicago and around the country. Because I said no to the world and yes to Christ. And that was the first time publicly in my life where I said, I'm taking a stand. Here I am. My feet are in the sand. My feet are firmly planted. And I'm not going to be moved off of this. I didn't know at the time it was going to cost me my career. But you know something, as I've told you guys before, it has opened up new doors in ways that I would have never imagined.
Yeah.
And the Lord gave me peace of mind on it to be able to move forward.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Phillip, because you're honest dude. If you would have known going in that it would have cost you your career, how would you handled that, man?
Honestly, Carl, I've been asked that question by a couple of people in our church and people that I've discipled. And I've said, you know, I have to be able to, number one, I have to be able to go before my Lord and my Savior. Honestly, you know, when I bow my knee and talk to him, I have to be able to go to him, honestly. And so I would have done the same thing.
I think you would have.
I would have to, because how could I face my grandchildren or my children and expect them to be able to take a stand for Christ, to stand firm in their faith, to act like men and women if grandpa or if daddy doesn't do it?
Yeah. You're a great role model, dude. Mainly because you're so honest. Those track kids are pieces of work. I remember when I got my first set of spikes from my dad.
There's no stopping you now. You got spikes.
Oh, mine were canvas Carews, and they were some of the nicest spikes that were ever out. And oh my goodness, you know, I honestly, there's something that goes on in the head when you put on spikes. I think you run faster because it's a placebo of speed. No, I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, no, I can see that. It's, and there's something in every sport that you get that new thing and you're like, oh yeah, this new baseball bat. Yeah, I think I'm really going to be hitting homers now.
And or, then you do.
Or the new pair of Jordans. These are really going to make me jump high. Do you remember the shoes back in the day, the Reebok pumps? And oh, they had yes. everybody convinced that if you pumped it up, you got more jump. It's like marketing genius.
How'd that work for you?
Well, everybody thought it did.
Let me just pump up.
That's the crazy thing about placebo is it works.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get all of us. We can be led to believe something is impacting that it isn't.
I saw this guy that came out of this double blind study and he was given, I've got an air quote, something that was going to help with his anxiety. Mm-hmm. And he comes out of the study and they showed all of his interviews post taking this stuff. And he said, this has worked wonders. The dude took nothing.
And it was a placebo.
Do you tell that guy he's taking a placebo after he says it works wonders?
Oh, yeah,
wonders?
They do. That's what you sign up for.
I mean, you
for.
Have to, but.
You get your $150, $200 to do the gig. And yeah. Then you find out, oh boy, it's got some powerful effect.
It is pretty incredible what the brain can do when it thinks that something's going on, even when it's not.
It's crazy.
Walking with Christ, one step at a time. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
There's no tougher regrooving of a swing than breaking the habit of people pleasing.
I would agree with that.
None. It is brutal. But here's what I'm going to do for you right now, because this is what I'm feeling. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would fill up all of us this morning with the grace and mercy that we need to build our life on the rock. His name is Jesus. And that we would not be bound by the approval of man or trying to please people, but that we would live to honor you. That you would help us to survive the painful moments of not being liked. Ah! That you would help us to survive the painful moments of not being approved of. Maybe by anyone at work. Maybe by any of our kids. Maybe by a spouse. But Lord, I just pray that you will allow us to break free from the bad swing of people pleasing and to walk free, to get our feet on the rock, not stomping our feet, not getting all angry, just trusting you, Jesus, that we will speak the truth in love and let the chips fall. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And let it be. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.